Blog Talk Radio.
Nice to be here, man. We've had a few weeks off and just sitting comfortably in the bunker in Detroit, coming from the heart of Detroit, man. Underground radio, Gorilla, Blister Fish radio show, and it's just nice sitting here and relaxing and being able to do this show, man. I just appreciate it. I appreciate all you guys that listen and anybody that calls in and discusses with us or downloads the show and from the archives and listens later, man. It's just been great. We appreciate all you guys, and it's just been a real, real fucking pleasure, man, to do this show, and it's been a real catharsis for us, and just being able to blow off steam and have fun doing it too, and just getting our opinions out there, and just really trying to figure out this crazy fucking world, man. And saying all that, introduce my co-host, my good buddy, Old DB from the west side of Michigan. You out there, Old DB?
Hey, what's up, man? What's happening? What have you been up to?
Yeah, nothing much, man. I know you were dragging a little bit. I'm glad you made it in.
Yeah. Dude, I was dragging ass yesterday. I'm glad we kept this today for the show, man, because I wasn't making it yesterday.
Right.
There's no way. But I'm back and I'm here, ready to go. Fresh as a fucking daisy.
You're back in Barack. That's the name of this episode, is Back in Barack. I was just going to let everybody know a little bit that we were planning on moving the show back to Wednesday, which seemed like a good day, and we were going to do it for this week, but because you were a little under the weather yesterday, we kept it scheduled for Thursday, but I think next week we're going to try to go back to Wednesday and then just keep it locked in for the rest of the fucking year on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m., so anybody that's hitting in on that seemed like our best time. That seemed when we got the most listens, especially with football season coming up and everybody watching Thursday night football and stuff, and you know, a lot of people even go out on Thursday nights and stuff to clubs and shit, so it seemed like Wednesday night was our best night, and we're gonna try to keep the show on Wednesdays, you know, and just keep a consistent week-to-week time slot and show slot and day slot. So be looking for us Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. We'll be grinding it out every week right here on Blisterfish.
Whacking them and stacking them. We're coming out fucking stacking them 10 high. This is like about the 16th show, I think. But
is it?
Who's counting at this point?
Not bad. see if we can make it to 52, see if we can make it to a year's worth of shows.
Right. Yeah. So what's been going on, man? You've been doing a lot. I noticed you've been doing a lot of making a lot of runs to Detroit lately. It seems like every fucking weekend I see you at Comerica Park watching the Tigers, or you're at some concert, or running around. You're doing a lot of driving around, a lot of traveling.
Yeah. It's been a fucking busy summer, man. I went to almost every week. I'm into Detroit nowadays. Like you said, going to see the Tigers or. Went to see Jack White last week at the Masonic Temple, which was a fucking amazing show. Just incredible. He played like 36 tunes, almost 3 hours. And it
three
was
hours?
Yeah, almost
holy
3 hours.
Hey, quit praising on me, will you?
But it was hectic as hell, dude. There was almost no crowd control at all. And no one really honored their ticket. I mean, if you had it didn't matter what your ticket said on the face of it, where you're at and shit.
Right.
You could, you know, just fucking get the spot you could, and that was it, you know. And, you know, upstairs, down. But goddamn, that place is so confusing, man. I got lost like 3 times, man, and I wasn't even that buzzed, man. And I mean, I was wandering the halls and the staircases, like, where the fuck am I going? But a couple times, but yeah, it was just a great show, and he killed it, and fucking just a great show all night long. So I was happy to see that one. So, you know, he, you know, like we were talking about before, he donated all that money, you know, for the theater to stay open, so the government wouldn't repossess it. So he came back
right,
and played.
Paid off his taxes.
He told the story of how his mom was an usher there, an usher selling candy and shit at the Masonic Temple. So it was pretty cool. You know, just a real brief story. He's jamming in this one part, and he's talking, you know, he's doing this narration, you know, over his guitar, and he's talking about this poor boy that grew up in the city of Detroit, and everybody grew to love him, and he was just the salt of the earth coming from Detroit, you know, and you know, you think it's kind of about him, you know, like it's an autobiography or something. He goes, "It's Ted fucking Nugent," and he just goes tears off on his guitar, man, rips it up for a while. It was hilarious. And I mean, it was just this kind of old roundabout way of, you know, of propping old Ted. You know? I don't know, man. It was odd.
Was he making fun of him, or was he?
I mean, that's
like,
kind of what I got from it at the end. I mean, it sounded like he was talking about himself at first. You know, it was really odd.
Right.
He was, you know, just a poor white boy from Detroit, and you know, and
I think of salt of the earth.
Yeah,
but I think
he's like kind
of
rapping it
like
and shit.
He's like the last one.
Yeah, so he kind of tore up Ted a little. I mean, it was just kind of weird reference to him, you know. And so, you know, he talked in between to a little bit about, he's like, if any of your friends, he's like, get your friends' asses off the couches and get them south of 10 Mile and have them come down to the city, man. He's like, this is bullshit that people won't come down here, you know. And he was kind of, you bring them down, you know. And so, I don't know, he's propping the city and shit and giving quick little stories of, you know. Of course, you know, he was around there. He lived around Mexican Town, and he was an upholsterer for a while. And and he was fixing up furniture and shit, and he finally got into guitar.
He had a house in Indian Village for a while.
I
think he had a house in Indian Village for a while, but I think he moved.
Yeah.
And I know Meg White. I think Meg White still lives there in Indian Village.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if
really?
It's the same
she
house.
Really? She still lives in Detroit?
I believe she lives in Indian Village. Well, shit, they got million-dollar homes there. In Indian Village, I mean, it's really
nice.
Yeah,
that's a nice area. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean,
it's
not like totally gated. You know, it's not totally like super secure, rich gated community. But they got their own security, and it's still a nice neighborhood.
That'd be fucking killer to see Meg White wandering around Detroit sometime, man.
Right.
Holy shit! I saw
she
that twice
like
out in Colorado, once at the Fillmore in Denver, and then once at Red Rocks. You know, And the Fillmore show was just outrageous. It was fucking a mind blower. And the Red Rocks was so. They didn't quite fill up Red Rocks, you know, with the two of them. But you know, this show at the Masonic was killer, and it was good to be, you know, in Detroit. It's the first time I've ever been to that building. It looks like a big fucking old castle that's like, you know, 10 stories tall and shit. You know, it looks so archaic. It's amazing.
Right. That's a cool place, man. It's cool. Cool you got to that show. I would have liked to go into that. I'm not a huge Jack White fan. I don't know. The White Stripes, probably one of the reasons that Meg White. I mean, she's like, you know, her drumming. She's no Neil Peart from Rush.
No.
But she. I don't know.
But you know, the thing
that,
about it is, White
kind of
played.
Gimmicky.
Oh,
right.
I don't think
but
so at all.
When they first came out with
living guitarist, and he was his blues bass. He wasn't that good when they first
right.
came out. He wasn't that good.
That's
and
what
she,
saying.
You
well,
know, she
I'm
played
saying.
The bass
I know,
with
I,
Scott.
I know them from when they first came out, and I always took them as kind of gimmicky. Well, he's kind of transformed himself and went on. Now he's a big producer and he writes a lot of hits for other artists and stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of bands. So
well,
he's
did
like
that album
went
with,
on and becomes big. And,
have you heard that album with the Loretta Lynn that he made? That Van Leer Rose?
I
That's
think I
a
heard
fucking
one
good album, dude. That is a really
yeah.
good album. And she,
it's
all of
though,
her
right?
songs she wrote.
Right.
For the first time ever, she released an album with all of her songs that she had written. And, of course, I'm pretty sure he did most of the music, you know.
Right.
But he produced the album, and it's a great album. It's the best-selling album she's ever had. And I think he
right.
kind of did it with her to kind of secure her future, you know, because
right.
She wasn't extremely rich. And that
right.
album
well,
sold
they,
quite a few copies. I mean, it made her a ton
well,
of money.
Well, they won a lot of awards. I remember they won, like, it was a Country Album of the Year that year or something. And she won a lot of awards because of that album. I think he won
yeah.
awards.
It was a great album. I still listen to it. I don't know. I he's certainly transformed. If you ever get a chance, I don't know if you've ever seen the video, but Under Blackpool Lights is him. It's White Stripes, him and Meg, and it's, you know, in Blackpool,
right.
England. And it just shows you how he just fucking attacks a guitar. I mean, he just fucking attacks.
Right, yeah.
It. And, man,
right,
that's
wild.
Just a wicked video. And it just shows kind of what I saw with the White Stripes. And now with this new stuff, it's totally different. It's a completely different stage show. And so it's got a different feel to it, but he still tears it up on guitar. You know, he still fucking ravages the motherfucker. So I don't know. He's one of my all-time favorites for sure. Live,
right.
He's incredible. He's
yeah,
hypnotic.
I've just seen him a couple times live, like on award shows, like the Grammys or whatever. That one Grammys performance where he was just going ape shit on the
yeah,
guitar.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of slide and a lot of feedback, a lot of noise.
Well,
and it
he
was,
did,
I thought that was kind of cool.
Death
you know?
Letter. That was what that, he did Seven
right.
Nation Army and a
yeah.
Death Letter on the Grammys. I thought it was great.
Right.
I thought that was fucking incredible.
Well, it was different, you know. I mean, normally nobody gets up there and makes that much noise and crazy
right.
in the Grammys, you know, except for like a metal band or something. But
right.
but it, you know, it's kind of like that sloppy, annoying. It's almost like punk rock, you know. It's like the
right.
sloppy and the annoyingness of punk rock, like the feedback and everything. And the
right,
you know, but I
kind
I
of psychedelic,
like that
kind of punk rock.
Right.
I mean, you can't
bit,
quite,
yeah. right.
you know, dude. I was listening to, it was like. I don't know, modern music. I don't know what the fuck you call it nowadays, but maybe alternative, whatever. Station out of Lansing. And I was out back doing something. And, you know, it just started all droning together, you know. And then they played Lazaretto by him, and it just fucking cut like a knife. It was completely
right.
different than anything else on that station for the last hour and a half, you know. I mean, he's original. I still think he's just fucking amazing on guitar. I mean, he just fucking, you know, he's not technical. He's not going to be, you know, but he hypnotizes. I get a bromance
right.
with him. If I ever had one with anybody, it'd be Jack White.
right, right.
So,
hey, Dennis,
man.
We got a call, so I don't
all
know
right.
if this is a, it might be, it could be Christ Crusher, but.
You're right.
Hello, caller. Oh, it's Crusher. Yep.
What's up, Crusher?
See the 254. I should know from the 254. It's gonna be you.
That's yeah. You should have that back. There's no excuses for this no more. I'm tired.
Yeah, yeah.
Just bring them on. Intro them on, man. Come on.
You have your own intro, your own special, your own intro, not the alert. Lurch from the
yeah
from the Adams Family.
Get a specific drop.
Isn't that a daisy?
right.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what's up. How's your vacation?
Oh, nice. We took off four or five days. We went to Niagara Falls. We're just outside of Niagara. We got a cabin out there and hit the wine country out there. Went on a wine tour, saw the falls again, and just hung out there and just went around every day and just did a lot of drinking and a lot of hanging out, just a lot of eating good food. And it was nice.
Living
just
it up.
Yep, living it up, man.
Yeah, saw the picture. That was pretty good shot you got there.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Because we went there on Saturday, which was kind of a mistake because it was so packed there, man. There was a million people there. It was just crazy. And it's such an international draw now. It's like you just hear constant around you foreign language, just, you know, Asian, Indian people, just every French, just German, Russian, just all types of dialects going on. It's like, wow, man, there's hardly any English-speaking people even there. It's really weird. But it's definitely, I had went like, I don't know how many, it was probably about 15, 20 years earlier before that, and it seems like now it's a lot bigger than it was back then. There were a lot more people there than last time I went. Yeah.
I went about 20 years ago, too, and it was cool. It's kind of one time for me, you know. It's kind of like, it's there, and, you know, kind of like Mount Rushmore or something, you know.
Yeah, you know, keep going back.
Yeah.
We went back to stay at that bed and breakfast. It was a really nice place, and it was more to go on the wine tour. They got it's just west of the northwest of the Niagara area in St. Catharines there. That's like basically the Napa Valley of the Northeast. It's because of the way the winds go off the lake and the waters there. It just the soil and everything is like, I guess it's basically the same as the Napa Valley soil. So, I mean, there's, like, literally, like, 1,000 fucking wineries there and vineyards all over the place. And they're just, I mean, it's ridiculous. And the wine is delicious. We kind of tried about 50, 60 wines there at least. And I'm not a big wine guy, but there were some really, really good wines that, you know, I was like, man, I'm kind of rethinking it. I'm like, this shit ain't bad. I picked up, a case of wine, and it was nice.
Cool.
But, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we went up to Traverse, you know, they got wine country up there too, man, and they're growing hops all over the place, and it's pretty interesting, man. It's a lot of good wine up there too, Traverse City.
Yeah, Traverse has got a lot of wineries too.
Yeah.
Traverse City. That's not, and Cluster probably don't know that. That's it's the northwestern upper, it's like the tip of the pinky in Michigan in the mid. The tip of the pinky with Traverse City, and they got a lot of.
You know when you tell some people that, they have no idea what you're talking about. When you refer to like a hand in Michigan, some people are like, "What the fuck are you saying?"
You're looking at the back of your hand, and Detroit is down by the first knuckle in your thumb in the bottom right, and the tip of the pinky is the upper left, and that's where Traverse City is up there. And there's a lot of rich people live up there, a lot of big homes, and it's like kind of rich people country up there.
Beautiful up there, big, huge, like, bays and inlets and sailboats all over the place and gorgeous.
Yeah,
area.
A lot of money up there, man, a lot of money.
Yeah, we went up there and visited a couple lighthouses and went to Sleeping Bear Dunes. There's all kinds of shit to do around there. It's fun.
Right. And I didn't get your drink order there at the beginning of the show, Dennis. I was going to tell you, I'm drinking, I got a, I don't know how much is in it, it's a liter and like 9 3/4 ounces, so whatever the fuck that is, 26, 28 ounces, so it's a big bottle with a cork in it. I got the, this is the Dragon Mead Armageddon Crux, and this shit is like,
who makes
it's
that?
Like, it's like Dragon Mead.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like kind of an amber Belgian beer, and it's like 13%. It's fucking brutal. It's like amber.
Yeah.
Amber, Belgian style amber. And I've been drinking that, so.
That's got a
little
kick
slurry,
to it.
If I get a little slurry here in an hour, you'll know why.
I'm drinking the trusty Oberon, man. My summer brew out of a can, which I seem to be enjoying more than bottle. I don't know why. I don't know what the difference is, but.
Convenient.
Yeah, they're the big old bullet cans, you know, that they got. And
right, 16 ounces or 14 ounces, right? 14?
Let me look.
I think they're 14 ounces. I bought a 4-pack of them a couple weeks ago. And that's about a perfect amount. You get like 14 ounces or something like that, 14 and a half or 15.
Yeah, it's 16, one pint, 16 ounces. Yeah.
Wow, that's weird because the ones I had I thought were 14.
Really? Yeah, no, so it's right, it took me a while to find it. It's right at the top. 5.8% alcohol, but it's a good tasty summer beer, man. It's
Right.
It refreshes.
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with Oberon.
You know.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying my hardest.
I'm just over here. Be very drunk. When I do drink beer, I like to, do the craft, but I don't have any of that right now. So, yeah, I'm just, smoking some dro.
That's about it.
I got me a little blueberry foam, so.
Nice. That's usually a mainstay for me before I get on here.
Oh, man. It's like friggin' Beavis and Butthead.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
Oh, man. Well,
wait, are we going to talk about anything serious or just fuck around?
Yeah, we're considering talking about drinking and smoking dope all this. I don't know, man. A lot of shit's happened since we last were on a couple weeks ago and we took a little midsummer break. I had sent you a few things. I know you had a few topics you wanted to go over. I'm trying to go back to your page here and see what I sent you, but
I was hoping that Lucy would show up. He hasn't shown up in quite a while. I don't know if I've chased him away or not, but I was going to debate him some more about some shit. I know he's an Obama lover, and this is the thing that popped up that I thought of him instantly. You know, from a couple of our other conversations we had on shows, is he met. You know, he loves Obama, but he mentioned Chris Hedges too. You know, and Chris Hedges is one. You know, he's more along the lines of like Glenn Greenwald, where he is maybe left leaning, but he's not aligned with Obama. And so, Lucy loves Hedges also. He mentioned him a couple times and how he's like this preeminent, left-leaning author. But, maybe he failed to remember that Hedges sued Obama. And that went all the way to the Supreme Court where they refused to listen to it. And it was regarding the NDAA. The National Defense Authorization Act, which if anyone listening isn't familiar, it's Obama signed it. It went through Congress. It was sponsored by our beloved Senator Carl Levin, who no longer is in the Senate anymore. He was on the Military Armed Services Committee, head of it, I think. But he was responsible for sponsoring it, and Obama signed the NDA, which basically allows the military to enter your home and arrest you under military authority if they deem you either a terrorist or aiding and abetting terrorists. And Hedges' argument in the word, because of the wording of the law itself, which one, it goes against the Posse Comitatus Act, but his argument is that definition of aiding and abetting a terrorist could even be a journalist, and that he could be arrested if he went in and interviewed a terrorist anywhere in the world, that the military could come back, bust down his fucking front door, arrest him without charges for the rest of his life solely for interviewing a terrorist somewhere in the world, which under the vague wording of this act allows that to happen. And so they refused it. It got up to the Supreme Court, and they refused to hear the case. It got to the level of court right below them, circuit, I believe, or circuit of appeal. I don't know. But And he won the first round, and then the government came back and brought it to the next level of judicial system, and then that's when it was overturned, and then the Supreme Court refused.
All rise as the judge leaves.
You know, I mean, right. I don't know. That just struck me, and I thought about Lucy when that all kind of popped up into my head again, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He did sue Obama, you know.
He's being sued, too, by that, was the Republican center?
Boehner.
What's his name?
Boehner. Yeah.
Boehner.
That in itself is ridiculous. They're resorting to suing each other to get shit done in Congress?
Right.
I mean, come on. You got to fucking be kidding me.
They're not going to do anything until he gets out of there. I mean, it's basically stonewalled the whole government. They can't get anything accomplished.
No, nothing.
It's
8 years of incompetence, but I tell you what, dude. If Hillary gets voted in, it's going to be the same thing all over again. It's going to be another 8 years of the same old.
Right.
Can guarantee.
Well, the only hope is you hope that we get Congress, that they can get a Democratic Congress.
But if that happens,
I don't know if that's necessarily going to be if it did happen, I don't know if that. You know, as far as your conspiracy of the, things going way of the Orwellian nightmare, if she gets in and she had a free, reign to do whatever she wanted, I think we would be in the Orwellian nightmare even worse. I think
I would agree with that. I mean, and that's why the government's set up the way it is, dude. So there's those checks and balances to control one of the three branches. You know, each has oversight of each other. But it's obviously not happening, and now there's just fucking nothing done. But she's a total corporatist, man. I mean, she gets in the office, and she's a fucking hawk. She's all about going to war.
Right.
You know that someone will test her because she's a woman, and that she'll have to prove something,
Right.
So the same old, same old, So I don't know, man. If anybody on the left, I'd vote for Elizabeth Warren. If it's going to be anyway, she's against the banking system.
I thought she might be good too, but she's even kind of did some shady shit lately there, where she tried to put some bills through, and then she's like puts language in her bills to sabotage them where they won't get voted through, and she did some stuff. I read something about her that I was just like, ah, man, it's just like this doesn't seem like anybody's going to be good,
I don't know. I haven't heard any of that. I do know that she's trying to regulate the banking system, and I'm all about that. I'm all about socializing it. Have the fucking government take it over, but the whole thing is money and politics. As long as you've got dark money coming in, you can't identify where it's coming from, and they can give unlimited amounts to any candidate. It's going to be fucking. It's going to be crooked. It's straight out crooked. It's bribery by the corporate system to the political system, and they're all fucking intermingling, man. They're all fucking kissing cousins, and they leave the government, join the banking system, leave the banking system, join the government, So if as long as money's involved, it's a done deal. It doesn't matter who's fucking president. As long as there's dark money involved, you can't get it out.
Right.
So I don't know. That's my view, man. I think at federal level, I think it's just busted completely. I don't think that the common man has anything to do with it anymore, really.
Yeah, I agree with it.
Local level's different. I mean, and that's where you're going to get maybe some changes and shit. I know you're talking about some things that have been going on in Detroit and stuff, and the primaries were just here. Hey, speaking of which, on a local level, to prime the primary thing, you know how they give tickers at the bottom of the TV about election results and shit, And there's this town north of here. It's about 25 miles north of here, 30. It's called Litchfield, and it has almost 1,400 people in it, and 13 people voted on the school millage. 13.
Wow.
12 for and one against. Decided the fate of the school.
Down a beer? 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
That's probably what they're doing, man.
They're all drinking.
13 people decided
that's
the fate
pathetic,
of the fucking
man.
School system. I mean, that's the worst that I saw. I mean, I saw some other towns with a lot higher participation, but that's 1%, man. Less than 1% of the people voted. Fuck.
Where did you say this was at?
Litchfield. It's a small town about 30, 40 miles north of here, 30 miles north. And they had 13 plus. It's almost 1,400 people, and they had 13 people vote for the school, and it showed 100% return. It wasn't like they weren't waiting for more votes. So I don't know if the news station fucked it up, but there were two different millages. One was for the school, and one was for something else. And the school millage got 13 votes, and the second millage got 12 votes. So someone didn't even, while they were there, didn't even bother to vote on the second millage that was going on. So that's crazy, man. I don't know. I'll have to check it out and see if that was like an error, you know, they hadn't gotten 100%, but it showed 100. I had to pause the TV. I go, no fucking way. 13 people voted. So I don't know. It's crazy. We got anybody else on? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, whoa, I'm back. I was cut off there. You guys there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey.
I was cut off, my phone shut off.
I was wondering what happened. I was rattling on there for a fucking while.
Right.
Like, I thought it was my phone.
What happened to Crusher? You got cut off too?
Probably. If you dropped, you're the host, man.
Well, that was weird because did you get cut off too?
Oh, yeah. It just went
you
to dead air.
You got cut off too?
Yeah, it just went to dead air.
Oh, we all got cut off.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But
if you
drop, everybody goes, I think. Anyway.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I got cut off before you guys kept going.
Huh. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
Remember that happened before. So, NSA, CIA.
We're so important with our 2 million.
Hasta la vista, baby.
We're dead meat. Holy mackerel! Cut off. That was weird. And then this option came up on the way. I had to run up and get my wife's phone because I couldn't get my phone back to the phone. It just locked up and started spinning. So I went up and grabbed her phone and came back down, and it had an option on my laptop to continue the show or not. So I'm like, yeah, I want to continue the show. What the fuck?
Weird.
I don't know what was going on. I hadn't hit nothing, dude. I didn't touch nothing.
Yeah, we all got cut. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It just went to dead air. I'm like, hello?
Yeah. Some friggin' bullshit was going on. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Where the fuck's going on. Right. Oh, man. Well, anyways, I can't remember what we're talking about now. You're talking about the...
I don't know. We were talking about voting
local
results
election
shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, what I would say, that I was just like, wow, 1,400 people in that town or district or whatever, and only 12 people voted. That's pretty sad, but...
Yeah,
you know.
I got to look it up. I mean, maybe the site had it wrong, but I totally paused it and it said 100% return. And so, but it that doesn't, that sounds extremely low for 1,400 people. But
right,
we'll see. I don't know. But either way, you know, they get such a low, we get such low results in primaries, man. And it's usually about what, 10%? Can the 10% of the voters usually
come
out to primaries?
I think
that
Detroit came out. The whole city of Detroit was like 6%. So, you know, that's pretty low. But you know, there's a lot of apathy with that stuff. But you know, the presidential one, you know, it gets pretty a lot higher, obviously. When we vote in November for the governor and everything, I'm sure it'll go up. It'll probably quadruple.
Yeah, I don't even know
if
Snyder's going to get reelected, dude.
God, I hope not. Jesus Christ.
You know it.
That's crazy. I'm going to try to call Lena on my other phone and give her phone back because her phone's already to die anyway. So
right.
I'm going to see if I can do this. Hopefully it'll work. So we'll go on with our next topic. One thing I was going to talk about is I'd like to, if Crusher calls back in, I'd like to talk about, I've been debating a lot of the stuff going on with Israel, a lot of people that are like, it's just this, it's like this Jewish roots movement where they really study the Torah and everything, and they kind of, you know, go back. It's not like all these people are Jews, but they're not, you know, they're like, they live in America and they study the Torah and everything, and they just, they studied the, I'm trying to do this while I'm talking, and it's just, it's just everything's frozen on my phone for some reason.
Hmm.
And, so anyway.
So they got a hard-on for Israel right now, huh?
Yeah, well, they're all trying to support Israel, and they're going on and on about, you know, about all the, atrocities that, you know, Hamas is doing and the Palestinian people and everything, and I'm getting all these debates with them, and it's just crazy, man. It's like, and it's,
you know, dude, I'm willing to bet you're catching some people that are like government funded, you know, the Israeli government, or, you know, maybe some, you know, AIPAC committee members or something are paying them. I mean, nowadays there's so many people being paid on the internet to spread propaganda, even including by our Department of Defense, by the Pentagon.
So?
It's not even funny. I mean, it's come out over and over again how there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people that they sit around, all, including the NSA, sit around and you know, spread propaganda about whichever, you know, topic they're supposed to at the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if those ultra-Orthodox Jews, if that's what they are, are paid propaganda people by the government, Israeli government, or something, lobby group. Who knows? It could be. I mean, that's my thought on it, Ange. Just anecdotal. Hey, but did you see, speaking of ultra-Orthodox Jews, while you're looking for that, if you need to, but something popped up on richarddawkins.net. The title of the article is called "Why Orthodox Jewish Babies Keep Getting Herpes." Why ultra-Orthodox Jewish Babies Keep Getting Herpes. And it's by richarddawkins.net. And they have a process where they, after circumcision, the priest actually bends down and sucks the dick of the boy, sucks the blood clean off the dick of the boy, and the fucking rabbis are now spreading herpes to newborn children, which have since, according to this article, killed three kids. One baby was found at 16 days old to have pustular lesions, but it's a standard practice of these fucking Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Jews. How disgusting is fucking that, dude? Oh, my God. Sucking baby dick.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Sucking
baby
dick,
practice,
dude. What the fuck?
I know.
Holy.
And you're on the air, by the way, Crusher. Do you want to comment on that?
Oh, okay. I didn't know I was back on.
You want to comment on that? Yeah, that's a nice one to comment on. But yeah, that came across this last week on RichardDawkins.net, and it's just shocking to me. I didn't even know that was a. I mean, it's not. I don't know. It didn't surprise me, but I didn't even realize it was a. It was a tradition either.
Yeah, I heard about that about for the first time about a year ago.
Man.
And yeah, and it was I had no idea. If you did that outside of religion, you know, the consequences for that would probably be pretty severe. I'm not sure what they are now, if they're, invoking some kind of freedom of religion to get out of that, because in the real world, that's a prison sentence.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you probably get the worst treatment once you got into prison. It wouldn't be the sentence itself.
Right.
the prisoners hear about that one, and that, But here again, religion allowing some absolutely disgusting practice that's not only spreading herpes to these little baby boys, but killing some of them. It's crazy, man. Anything for religion. I there's been so much insane stuff lately. Did you see that... that Louisiana church, this pastor was accused of pedophilia, and the entire congregation stood and gave him a standing ovation right after he was accused of it. He came back to the next, of course, the next day or whatever, the next sermon, and they fucking stood and applauded him.
Yeah, they are. That was a church in Florida, wasn't it, where they... he had repented or whatever, and actually banned kids from coming to the church so this guy could continue to preach there. Yeah. So, I mean, I think maybe there's two different stories, but...
One's from Louisiana. The RawStory.com. Louisiana Church, RawStory.com is where I got it, but Louisiana Church posts a video of standing ovation for priest after child sex accusations. And they posted a picture of him. Maybe the press was there when he came back. In the picture, he's frowning, and he just appearances. But the dude looks guilty in the picture. He looks like he's like, holy fuck, what did I do? They're standing applauding him, and he looks like he's like totally frowning, looking down at the ground. Like fucking, he just looks guilty, man, just from the picture. So fuck, dude. It's just on and on with the crazy stuff, and now it's kind of being blended into tech stuff. Did you see this Polish priest is claiming that he receives text messages from the devil, and now they've got this app, and it's called Shut Up Devil. You can load on your smartphone, and whenever you get like bad, voices in your head that tell you something, that's tell you, to go kill that person, you get on your phone, and it tells the devil to shut up. It tells you to quiet those voices in your head.
Well, that might encourage you.
I'm back.
Right. He comes back and the app goes, no, go ahead and do that. Wouldn't it be fun?
The man that's gonna, when are people gonna say that's enough, and start really coming down on these people for these things? I mean, I think a good start. We can start by doing it. I used to do it, but I got out of the habit. I should start doing it again. As far as religion is concerned. We should start calling, Christianity Christian mythology.
Yeah.
Call it
right.
What it is. We do it with Greek mythology. We know this is,
right.
All stemming from myth. There's nothing to back it. We know this. People don't accept it. And that's when, all the craziness starts happening when, they know there's nothing to back this up, but they're going to continue to do things on behalf of their God or whatever it is that they believe in. And expect us to, let it be freedom of religion. And, so if we put it out there more, I think, just keep calling it what it is, and maybe it'll start to sink in a little bit.
Well, I tell you what, man, they're they're claiming basically religion can do whatever they want under the auspices of religion. I mean, they can deny people service because of, if they're gay or not, even look like it, you know, or provide abortion services through the healthcare system or not, of course, through the Hobby Lobby ruling. Now, this is my favorite thing, man. You know, I mean, Satanists kind of fall into the same realm as religion for me. You know, it's all a bunch of ridiculous stories. But these Satanists in Oklahoma, first they sued the Oklahoma, I think it went all the way to the Supreme Court, if not the federal Supreme Court, and they were made to be allowed to put a statue of, I forgot who it was, like Ball or somebody. It was like has a goat head. It's a human with a goat head form. And it's like right next to the Christian manger and stuff in Oklahoma somewhere, and now they've sued using the Hobby Lobby ruling. They've sued again to be allowed to skirt anti-abortion laws, claiming religious preference. The Satanists did. So I'm liking these guys. I don't know who the hell they are. But these Satanists, I'm kind of chumming up to the Satanists here. I don't know what the deal is with them, but I'm liking that.
Yeah. When we scrutinize religion, you know, atheists, from what I've seen, for the most part, kind of give the Satanists a break because they do all the things we want to see done that we just obviously can't do ourselves. And, you know, like, yeah, I wish somebody would do that, you know. Satan's like, well, we will.
You're right.
So it's a reality check for Christianity, and I like that they do that, even though it's, whether it's atheistic Satanism or theistic Satanism, I don't see the need for either one, but I'm not really going to hate on what they're doing. So.
Yeah. Well, I like they're challenging it. They're challenging the religious infrastructure, you know, and in the rulings that are coming back by our fucking Supreme Court to support, religious preference over everything else.
Not to promote Satanism, but a lot of Satanism anyways, is they don't really have a theistic belief. They don't believe it. A lot of Satanists are atheists. They don't believe in a physical Satan.
Yeah.
And
I'm not even familiar with it.
They're basically just atheists that want the protection of religion and to be able to have religious protection and be able to have a non-profit, you know, gathering.
I like that.
Or whatever.
I like that they're going after the religious infrastructure, and they're, you know, and so as this goes along, you know that everything that comes up favoring Christianity in the court system, or not everybody, you know, the Satanists are going to be able to come back and claim the exact opposite if they want. You know, saying, well, you know, if it gives them preference over whatever,
Well, we might as well have an atheist church because all Christians pretty much say that it's a belief system anyway. So if they're going to keep saying it's a belief,
they're gathering
shit.
Because we're trying so hard to, you know, not to look like them, and then we go and get atheist churches, and they're like, ha-ha, see, you know, you are religious.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it really fucks us up.
Yeah. But you know what? Yeah. I mean, just because you're gathering together doesn't mean that that's, you know, to pray to any imaginary figure, you know? And that's the thing that I think atheists, it does fuck atheists up, that you get them together in a group and then religious people accuse you of having a faith in itself to something in that non-belief, I guess it would be. But, you know, in the end, I mean, that's, I think, what's keeping the atheist community so separated is they're almost frightened to come together and discuss their non-belief, their reality.
I would say, you know, do it in a library. Meet somewhere else. You don't have to go to a building and call it a church.
Right.
You know?
Think we should be able to have the same rights and privileges that churches have?
Sure.
I mean, that with the non-profit status and everything and being able to collect money and not have to pay taxes and I think we should be able to do that, too.
That's not a bad idea.
Call a fucking church.
Well, I think
We'll call an atheist church and claim tax exemption.
Right.
Man, that's not a bad idea.
Do we want to do that, you know, because we want to go down? do we want to go down to the church's level on that? And
I actually started a religion back in the early 2000s. I called it Lodgism. We worshiped the lodge. Everything was the lodge, this, the lodge, that. We were going to get the big what. My wife had a bunch of access to a bunch of the big white furry hats that the marching band had from her high school and college and everything. We were going to put horns on the sides and have like the Water Buffalo Lodge hats. And you get your hat. And we had these tenets of belief that we had. And it was all like defend the innocent, the poor, and the downtrodden, you know, do this, do that, always support the lodge, believe in the power of the lodge. It was just for fun. It was interrelated to a band I was in. We were just screwing around. We'd cut your hand and put your blood on this pentagram that was burned into this wood mic stand, and we burned it into the blood into it, and just saw the stupid shit. And the thing was, we call it lodges in the lodge, and basically, it was like just mixing like Native American beliefs in with like a little bit of liturgical Christian ancient liturgical shit with kind of Satanism, and just mix it all into one hodgepodge. And it was kind of like at the beginning when I first started not believing in Christianity and everything, and it was real fun and everything. But I think about it now, and I'm like, you can just go with it, man. Just create a religion from it, and just kind of. You know, it was kind of like we believed in, like, the force from Star Wars. It was like an energy force, you know, what kept everything going, and that's what we believed in, and it was kind of funny.
Once you had the your little blood offering, I think you qualified as a cult right there at the spot.
Right, yeah. You probably were. No, but the thing is, we weren't doing that. We didn't do that as remission of sins. That was just done to show your, it was more like a motorcycle club thing. You're showing your allegiance to the lodge that you would, cut yourself and bleed for the lodge. It was nothing about remission of sins. Everything, it was always empowerment. Everything was, you're the greatest, you're the best, you're full of power, you are not sinful, you are not evil, we are righteous, we are just, we don't need a savior, we don't need a sacrifice to make us feel good or to cover our sins. We are not.
What
the
fuck, dude? That sounds like Illuminati shit to me.
Illuminati. Right. Like the 33rd degree Masons.
You're right. A bunch of fucking Masons, man. I didn't know that.
It's a rebellion.
Right. Oh, that's funny.
It reminded me of the Flintstones with the big fucking hat.
Right.
There was a lot. You kept saying lodge.
Right.
There, the Grand
Poobah
and shit.
Yeah, we had the Grand Poobah. I was Sergeant Arms. We had the Grand Poobah.
Did you?
And we had the Grand Poobah. Uh-huh. We never got the hat, though.
Man.
Yeah, we never got the hats. I was always trying to get it. I said, you got to get them damn fur hats so we can put the horns on them. We're going to put the big water buffalo horns on them and have after you go through the ceremony and you pledge allegiance to the tenants of the lodge, then you would get your cut, put your blood on the mic stand, and then you'd swear to your allegiance, and then all of a sudden then you get your helm, you get your white hat, you know. So,
that would be sweet if you put like horns on the hats. You guys could have like fights and like in a ring, and then there you'd really get some blood. Button heads.
Fight
and
the ring. Yeah, it was only about actually four members. One of the guitar players in the band wouldn't even do it. He's like, I ain't doing it because he was a Christian.
For
he's like,
or
I,
what, man?
Yeah, he was like, I ain't doing that shit. He goes, you guys are fucking crazy. He was all like scared. I'm like, come on, dude. It's not. I go, I'm not asking you to renounce Christ or anything. He's like all scared. He goes, I ain't doing that.
False idols and all that.
Right. Yeah, they're scared of everything. That's the thing with Christianity.
You know what probably happened? He got a little buzz on his phone, and it was the shut up devil.
Yeah.
Tell him not to do it.
The devil.
All right.
They can't make the decision by themselves. We need an app to fucking tell them if it's evil or not.
They need to be told what to do.
They already know what the app's going to tell them to do, and they still order what it's going to say this time.
That could be sweet. He could sit back and like program people, like tell him what to do and shit through the app. He could be sitting back at his home, like telling, directing people to go out and do crazy things through that app.
Right.
We should test that, man. That's a good idea. I like that idea for an app. We've come up with a couple good app ideas on this show so far, man.
I think I missed a couple of them. I think I was off.
Be like real life Sims or something.
Right.
To his cell phone.
Right.
Sounds like a reality show.
Yeah.
Real life Sims tonight.
So what else are we going to talk about? See, I was going to go back to that. I kind of was trying to lead into it with a story about debating the Jewish roots, Torah. I don't know if you've been getting into that much, Christ Crusher, with people, the roots movement with all these wacko fucking revisionists. You know, they're like the Israel roots, Torah, ancient fucking, you know, or the teachings are the only way to, you know, you got to go with the law, you got to be, everything's in the law. And I've been talking to these people, old DB was saying that he thinks some of them might be paid fucking, you know, provocateurs on there for Israel, the just different disinformation out there and everything. But, they're all, of course, pro-Israel, and everybody's attacking Israel, and everybody's anti-Semite, and they're anti-Palestine, you know, constantly ripping, you know, Palestine and Hamas and everything.
That's the thing, man. That's the bullshit of, you can't criticize Israel without being an anti-Semite. That's bullshit.
Right.
I mean, if you criticize the U.S., you're Irish, if the president's Irish, or that's bullshit, man. Those are two separate things. And, you know, Israel is a state, and, you know, as such, should be able to be criticized and condemned when it does fucked up shit.
Right.
You know?
Well, anyways, so I'm talking to her, and she, I was looking at her on her, not her, it was actually a guy. I always think it's a woman who's a, had a kind of a woman type name, but I guess I think he's a Jewish rabbi. Anyways, I was looking on his wall, and he had this video on there, and it said, I think I sent it to you, Dennis. It was the one with the imminent terrorist attacks coming up in America of 100 malls. This guy was supposedly a former U.S. intelligence agent.
Yeah.
And he, did you watch that video?
I didn't get a chance to watch it. I did not.
Well, anyways, this guy claims that he has solid, he's not even saying it could happen. He's saying it is going to happen, that there will be 100 or more malls bombed simultaneously coming up on a Islamic, not holy day, but an Islamic, important Islamic date. There will be, by terrorist cells that are already in the U.S., there's going to be like 100 or so bombings in malls across America. And he's not saying it will or it could happen. He's saying it's going to happen. He has information about it. They're already planning it. And it's this guy's a former U.S. Intelligence agent. I can't remember his name. I'd have to look at the story, the video. I sent you the video on Facebook. But so he says this is going to happen. And I'm listening to her, and it's this, you know, a Jewish lady, and she's doing this talk show, this radio blog or whatever. And I'm listening to her talk, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this guy talk, and he's saying all this stuff, you know, just kind of vague information and everything. And he's talking about Obama was trained in China, and he's a Marxist. He's also a terrorist sympathizer, and he's a Muslim, and he was financed by Saudi money, by Saudi Arabia money. And I'm listening to this
nowadays.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there listening to all this, and I'm like, you know what this chick is? I'm like, this chick is Israeli's version of Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Is what you want. The lady that was doing this radio show, she was like an Israeli Alex Jones. That's exactly what it reminded me of. And this guy was like some of the wacko hosts, guests that Alex Jones had in the past. Like that one guy that was a former CIA officer that had a big axe to grind with the government, so he was making all types of outlandish shit. 10 years ago, I can't remember the guy's name, but he had the guy that was a total nutbag on there for a few times on long when he first started out, Alex Jones. And she was just like that, and this guest was just like that. And I'm like, I'm thinking, you know, okay, you're saying this has happened. Well, give some fucking proof. I mean, you're making this outlandish claim. What
show
is your
documentation
evidence?
Or,
and he would never say what the evidence is of how he knows it. He would just keep saying, I know this to be true. It's going to happen. And then she's like, and she was even saying, well, what is the evidence? How do you know this? He goes, I know it from our surveillance and things I've seen and people I've talked to within the surveillance community or whatever, you know, CIA, you know, whoever, executives, blah, blah, blah. I know this to be. And he was almost saying, like, we know it's going to happen in the U.S. and they're going to allow it to happen, basically, is what he was saying. And that Obama basically is causing this too, and that he is a terrorist sympathizer, and he works with terrorists, and he's basically a Muslim, and he was paid for all his, he was bought into Harvard, he was bought into Columbia through Saudi money, and he wasn't very smart, he didn't get good grades, and they basically bought his way, they gave $10 million to Columbia, they gave $20 million to Harvard, and all this, and it was just, it was him and seven other guys that were all interlinked to, like, the Islamic world. And they were all, these eight guys were all groomed to be president, and one of them was going to be president one day. This guy's saying all this stuff, so check out that video one
time. Probably all me.
You know, watch it.
Think it's weird that Obama changed his name from Barry Otero? Has that ever happened before in the history of the presidency that someone changed their name from one name to another? Was that because of faith? Or, I mean, what was the reasoning behind him changing his name to Barack Obama? He took on his dad's name, or what was the reason behind? Barry Otero.
If you ever had any aspirations of being a big time politician in America, I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
When did he do that? When did he become Barack Obama?
It was before he got into politics, I think. I think it was during his college days, actually. I believe it was while he was going to Harvard, now that I think about it, that he changed his name.
Well, I don't know why. If he was ever had any desire to be a big-time politician in America, I cannot understand why he would do that.
Yeah.
That's another reason.
He didn't like the sound of it. He needed a stage name or something. I don't know, you know.
Barry Otero.
Barry Otero. Or Otero, I think it is.
Yeah.
An odd thing that he would change his name and then become president. I don't know.
Right.
It's kind of weird. But you know, hey, man, going back to, you were talking about all these terrorist attacks that this guy's claiming on this video. There's an article in Rolling Stone. It's a few years old now. It was written by Matt Taibbi. And that dude, he's written all kinds of stuff about the banking industry, how fucked up it is. He did all kinds of stories on the derivatives and how crooked that was, and it was all insider trading and all kinds of shit. Really good articles about the banking industry. But I believe he also wrote an article. It's in Rolling Stone. I'm thinking he was the author of it. It was an article, and I forgot the name of it, but it was about the FBI inventing and coordinating terrorist activities in America. And they had numerous instances of cases that were still pending or had passed where people were in prison. The one I recall specifically was in Chicago. And basically what he's claimed, Matt Taibbi is claiming in the article, is that they're doing this to justify them being around, that so that they get more funding and shit. So basically job security, right, you know? But there's this one story where this kid, he's almost retarded. He had an IQ of like 80 or 90 or something, and he was terminally unemployed. He lived in the housing projects. He had absolutely no money whatsoever, and the FBI convinced him and conned him into trade. He had no money, and he actually was in this work program and was being offered a job, and the government got involved so that he wasn't offered employment. They stopped the offer from happening to this guy because they're working on the case with this dude. So this guy's mostly almost retarded, completely poor, and they basically talked him into trading in his stereo speakers, which were these shitty speakers from the 1980s, for like arms. out of a fucking trunk.
Right.
So the FBI set up and coordinated this deal where this guy who was mainly retarded again traded in his fucking stereo speakers for arms in an attack that he proclaimed he was going to make, but the FBI basically guided him into it. It was just some fucking stupid, like, water plant attack or so, you know, some public utility thing in the state of Illinois or somewhere around the Chicago area, which was totally fabricated. He had no money,
right.
No means of doing it. He had no friends. He lived with his mom still. His mom took care of him. And the FBI fucking fabricated that whole case. And I believe that dude's in jail still over
right.
him trading his 1980s stereo speakers for arms that were going to be used in terrorist activities.
Right.
And they had probably 10 stories like that in this one article.
Right.
And all of them
were linked
back to the FBI.
Well, that was the question about that guy. That was that question about the guy in the theater shooting in Colorado was this guy had no money. He was broke. He was a whatever college student, no job or whatever. How did he had all types of ammo and guns and everything. And it's like, where did he get all this? You know, that guy, I can't remember his name.
I'm not even saying that they're causing all these mass shootings. I'm not saying the government's involved.
Right.
I'm not going to Alex. But certainly
no,
that the document that they've sent people to prison that were fucking, that had no idea what was going on in the case, you know, and they basically set them up
right.
and justified these numbers as, hey, we made a terrorist arrest, you know?
Right.
Bullshit
right.
like that.
We got another... I hear you. We got another caller.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
We got another caller, old DB.
You rang.
Hey, caller, what's your name and where do you hail from?
This is Morticia, and I hail from upstairs.
Oh, the old lady called in. Now we're in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
Everybody look busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get busy. Well,
let's talk elections.
All right.
Uh-oh. You want to? Okay. Yeah, just a little preface. This is my better half, Morticia, and I go, my handle on this radio program is Uncle Fester, so you figure that one out from the Adams family, Uncle Fester's with Morticia. So we got rid of Gomez. Gomez is, we deep sixed him. But, Morticia's, she's has some friends that are involved in statewide politics and stuff. And
I'm
primary. What's going on?
Yeah. So we had a primary this Tuesday, and it was really disappointing. We had
right.
in Detroit, well, just all over Michigan, less than 20% voter turnout. And actually, just
mm-hmm.
about 18% voter turnout. And, as a result, some very good candidates lost their seats, and some really crappy candidates, one in particular, kept a seat. And
right.
what was most disturbing is when Uncle Fester, which seems really weird to call you that, and I were standing in line to cast our ballots, the lady standing in front of Uncle Fester proudly proclaimed that she wrote in Jesus for governor.
Right.
In our neighborhood, our state rep happens to be an 8-time convicted felon. And
right.
Do you want to
say
his?
Can we say his name? Or?
Oh, we
yeah.
can say his name. Brian Banks.
Oh, Brian Banks. Right.
Brian Banks, 8-time convicted felon for passing bad checks for money fraud. Is currently being sued by his staffers for sexual harassment. And still kept his seat because our voters are writing in Jesus, at least the ones who bother to turn up.
Right.
And your friend
lost by 6 votes, right? It ended up
actually,
being 6
it was,
votes.
No, it actually ended up being 600 by the time the write-ins were write-in
oh,
ballots
okay.
were counted. But still, that's really disappointing that an 8-time convicted felon can win.
Mm-hmm.
Just by 600 votes, because when you think of it and the number of people we have here, and well, that they have in their district, 600 is a drop in the bucket.
And it's a state representative seat for the state
yeah,
Congress, right?
Yeah, right. State rep. And just a really good qualified candidate.
Yeah.
And it bugs me that, one, nobody's turning out, but everybody wants to bitch about the state of, you know, the state of our government, but nobody's going to turn out to actually elect good people. And of the ones that do turn out, we have these yoo-hoos that are writing in a fictitious character, Jesus.
Right.
You know, I wanted to explain to her something about residency requirements and how he really, you couldn't vote for him. But I wasn't interested into that fight.
Right.
I wonder what would happen if he won, like if Jesus as a write-in candidate won.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that would get him back if he had a job and had a spot in the government. He might come back then.
Yeah, we'll have a big welcome back signs for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Detroit politics are so dirty. Benny Napoleon probably would have changed his name to Jesus so he could serve.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just really disappointing, and, I'd just like to get you guys' take on it, you know.
Well, we talked about that on the last show, I think, about how these politicians, you know, get elected in these things, and they've got these insane things on their records, and, you know, just how they get into the positions they do with what they've done is insane.
7 years of college down the drain.
Right.
Yeah. And this guy's done nothing. I mean, he shows up at our, you know, he shows up at our community meeting, so he has some FaceTime, but literally has done nothing for our community. And just a really, really sad state of affairs. The funniest part was that I had put something on Facebook about our dear neighbor who wrote in Jesus, and the responses, I should probably keep better friends, I assume, because one of them was, well, maybe if Jesus was in office, people would care for the poor better.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Jeez,
that's what we're up against.
Yeah, that really is what we're up against. What's refreshing to me, though, is that I've had a couple of colleagues who saw the Facebook post and we're really fired up. We work with a bunch of really politically active, smart people who were really pissed off about it. I just wonder how, you know. I guess this is a good start, this radio show you guys are doing right here, to get those voices a little bit louder. But
right.
Here in Detroit, we are surrounded by, you don't get anything done in the city unless you are part of the big churches. And I started my career in Detroit working for one of the casinos when they were building their temporary casino. And the person that I worked for was in charge of getting minority contractors in to help build the casino. And her only thing was working with pastors. That's where she went. So if you don't work with pastors in this town, nothing happens.
Well, nothing else is really organized, is it? I mean, there's really no, cooperatives or things like that that organizes for minorities in Detroit besides churches. I mean, that's the problem.
Or every one of the unions we have here. I mean.
Yeah,
you
know. But that's not solely for minorities. I mean, that, you know. Unions cover, you know, obviously union employees, but I'm thinking, you know, this, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah, unions, but they've been so battered and beaten that they have almost no power left anymore. It's you know, they're giving up all their rights that they fought 100 years for, you know, since the 30s.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's your governor, Rick Snyder.
Yeah. Tearing it up.
Thanks,
but that's nationwide, too.
The right to work.
Yeah. Right to work for less. That's what that means.
Right.
Right to work for less. But, you know, I mean, you're talking about the guy that had 8 felony convictions and won, and I'm trying to look up to see if this dude won. We talked about it before. He's the guy that was in the 95th District Representative. His name was
the
Jordan
Reindeer Farmer.
He's out of Bay City area. And,
is he the reindeer farmer?
Sorry?
The crazy reindeer farmer?
No, this guy, he was actually, it's a Saginaw area, I think, but 95th District, and he was arrested several times for masturbating in police cars.
That's the guy I was talking about.
GOP rep. He's actually running for a seat in the state, you know, state house.
He's probably the most honest Republican among them.
Yeah. Well, you know, they would have found out, I mean, since he's got a felony conviction, they would have, I'm sure they did, the Democrats did a background check. Oh, bingo, if he hadn't said anything, you know. I mean, they would have brought that up in a timely manner somewhere along the line. You know, maybe if he was running or something.
Yeah.
There he goes.
That's actually the sound he made while he was in the police car.
Right. It's like, how can you get caught masturbating in a police car and think that you're going to be a career politician? And
I guess he vandalized the cars, too. I forgot, what was the name of the damn thing? It was like cranking or something. That's the name of it, where you're vandalizing the car and jerking the eye.
Wait a minute.
Man. Hey, guys,
wait a minute. I might have a noise.
President. Or,
I might have a noise for that.
President. Huh?
Okay. I might have a noise for that. Oh, man.
Here it is.
Cranking.
Here it is.
Yeah, he was living for the now.
Say, damaged county vehicles
yeah.
by pulling spark plug wires to masturbate while cranking the engine. What is that? I've never heard of that before in my life. What would make you, why would that turn anybody on? A car crank. Anyway, so that's one of I'm almost hoping to get voted in.
Yeah. Oh, now that's just gross.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell makes you want to do something like that. I mean, and then you're gonna run for office. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I guess you don't. Going full well, that's coming out in the public.
Yeah.
Right.
He had to just get it out there and be. You know, of course, you know why he's forgiven now. It's because he found religion.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's the same.
So that's all okay now because he's found religion.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's the same thing that happened with this state rep here who, you know, got caught, you know, passing all these bad checks. He turned his life around. And so his pastor spoke up for him.
Danger, danger.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he claims.
Yeah.
But, I was telling Fester about this book, Detroit City is the Place to Be, and he covers, like, kind of the blight and things like that, but probably half that book is about politics in Detroit City, the mayor, the progression of the mayors all the way up to past Bing, and I think it was the dude that just got elected recently, I think he even mentions in his book. But it's pretty interesting, you know. Of course, he has a pretty good section on Coleman Young and things like that. And I wasn't aware that Coleman Young was such a radical, and he actually had an FBI file and fought for civil rights for years before he became mayor. I was surprised to read that in that book. It was interesting.
Yeah
people don't really. And I've actually, since you started talking about that, picked up that book because we had a copy of it and started taking a look at it. But, yeah, Coleman Young, definitely huge civil rights activist. And, you know, so his name, because, you know, he was doing what he could to, you know, raise the African-American community, his name has been drug through the mud since.
Yeah,
you know?
Because,
you know,
he had clean hands, though. I mean, he probably was involved in some things, but... you know, he was vilified the entire time he was in office because of his past history, you know.
Yeah.
So. I mean, he never had any kind of scandals like Marion Barry in D.C.,
no.
like the crack and prostitute thing. And,
right.
You know, he was always kind of...
Not even like Kwame was, you know, I mean, worse than that, you know.
Well, just I'm thinking about that, and when we were in Canada, we talked to our Ben Breakfast owners, the lady of the house, and she was talking about how they loved their mayor in Toronto, and that guy was busted with crack and everything a few times.
Yeah.
And he's a total maniac, and he's a heavy partier, and they know it, but they love him because he works all night long, and he can be called any time of night, and he'll come in and work, and he answers people's emails directly, and he's like a man of the people, but he's an absolute maniac partier. I don't know if you've heard of that guy.
Yeah,
we
or
were
Rob
talking about
Ford,
him a lot.
Man. That fucker's a reincarnation
Chris Farley,
man.
Chris Farley, yeah.
He is funny.
My
man.
Advice to you. Start drinking heavily.
Yeah.
He
can
right.
be
that's
a comedian even when he gets out of politics, because that guy is funny.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, I wouldn't give a crap if my politicians were partying all night long if they were doing their job.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. If they got shit done, then who cares? I mean, that's the thing that, you know, I don't know what his record is or how what he's done for the city of Toronto, but I mean,
well,
if he's getting shit him. Done, then let him snort up cocaine and drink beers, man. He's, you know, fuck, you know. But he's probably get more done. He's in, you know, you're right. He's in the office till 5 in the morning, you know.
Yep.
He's get a little shot at, you know. I don't give a shit. I mean, as long as he's getting shit done, so much is concentrated on these fucking personal faux pas of everybody. They're more concerned with a cum shot on a dress than they are what the guy accomplished while he's in office, you know? Who cares? I mean, I don't know.
I would agree. That's so much like, you know, this rep that we got, the state rep we have representing us, you know. So, yeah, he's turned his life around and he's on the straight and narrow. But the fact of the matter is he doesn't do shit. You know?
Yeah, right, right.
I live with a very dangerous woman.
Oh. And I guess, on the one hand, I'm getting on this guy for masturbating in a car, but I guess there's a difference between crazy and partier.
Yeah, right.
That guy's
so
crazy, Rob Ford, more maybe of a partier than a, you know, off the wall crazy dude. You know,
right? I don't think they've caught him masturbating in a squad car yet, but that
yeah.
you never know. That may be next.
that video is next.
Actually,
right,
I was. I called Fester on the way to work this morning because I was listening to a local radio station and they were talking about a teacher that had gotten drunk before coming into class.
I saw that.
And, yeah, and they found him or her, I don't know, I didn't get that part, in the classroom with just a shirt on. And
she was pantless. Pantless and drunk.
You know,
and you know what? It was her first day of on the job also.
Awesome. So the disc jockey I was listening to was like, she was full on Winnie the Pooh. All shirt, no pants.
Oh, man.
That's hilarious. Winnie the Pooh.
First day, how do you make that
I
mean, what
and
makes you think that that's okay?
I was reading the article, and they're showing her with maybe it was public intoxication. I don't know what, but they arrested her. They were showing her mugshot with the article. So they hauled her right off to jail from her first.
Isn't that a daisy?
Yeah. Well, they were actually doing a poll on the radio about whether or not she should keep her job. if I showed up the first day or any day drunk with just a shirt on, I might lose my job.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Depending on where you worked, you know. I mean,
That's true. I might lose my job for keeping my shirt on, you know.
Right.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Oh, man, that's just people are crazy. Nowadays.
I think
it's just because there's so much access to everything. You see, you read and hear everything that's going on in the world today, you know, and you see all the insane, crazy things that maybe wouldn't otherwise have been in the press, you know, but now because of the internet, you see it all and you hear it all, you know? And maybe
I don't think people are any crazier.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, maybe people have always been this crazy maybe, but now you just hear more of it. It's on all the time and the internet kind of reaches into those areas that you wouldn't have read at in a local paper or seen it on the nightly news 20 years ago, you know. But now you see and hear it all. I mean, it's all there.
Yeah,
well,
I agree with that.
You hear about every single president now. We're starting to hear, you know, every historical president had a mistress. They all did something. But they served just fine. It was just it wasn't that public at the time. Now, you know, it gets public. And
That was Clinton. Flowers and Lewinsky. Right.
I thought it sounded more like Marilyn Monroe and JFK, but
yeah, it might have been. Yeah, it might have been Marilyn Monroe audio. Audio.
I could swear she was singing Happy Birthday there for a second.
Yeah. I said, you don't make fun of my Bill Clinton. You know I love me, my Switch Lily.
President. Happy birthday.
Oh, white
guy.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah, so maybe that's just it. I don't know. I mean, the level of crazy, I don't know if it's been upped or it's just that we hear it more often, but it's certainly out there now to see just about every day.
Yes.
Absolutely.
People have always been crazy.
Right. Well,
okay,
true.
Well, I'm going to let you guys get back to talking about serious stuff. I just want to talk about the lady
yeah.
that voted for Jesus.
We got to get back on conspiracy.
That's right. Whatever.
And I am out. And you guys know the whole story of this talk show is because I didn't want Brian to talk to me about, oh, I'm sorry, Buster to talk to me about this shit anymore.
He's getting
right,
all up for
right.
it. That's good. Good.
Yeah.
Thanks,
okay,
boss.
Well, thanks, guys. Okay, bye.
All right.
Cheap therapy.
Take it easy, Marticia.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
How dare you break wind before me?
I'm sorry, baby. I didn't know it was your turn.
I've been drinking. I'll get it together,
but no.
Everybody there? We still got somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, all right, those shifting gears, you know, you sent me that link on, I don't know if we got time for it, but that Dirty Wars movie with Jeremy Scahill.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Made it.
Right.
Know, he's written a bunch of books about Blackwater and shit like that.
Right.
But that movie is incredible, and it starts out
isn't
as a
great?
Simple little thing, and it just starts
right.
kind of fucking swirling down into the rabbit hole of, what he discovers
oh, yeah.
and everything. It's an amazing movie.
Right.
It's really good.
That is
even
great,
the way it's put together, man. Yeah.
I highly recommend that documentary for anybody that wants to know what's going on with our military and our forces overseas. That he gets into that following the JSOC command. And actually,
yeah.
I had some, when I was in the Air Force, I think we had a mission, a comm mission for that JSOC. It's Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC. And they, I mean, these guys are like rogue. These colonels and generals are running. They're like rogue friggin'. It's like a rogue military, man. They got their own funding. They got nobody knows how much we're spending on it. They just go all around. They go into areas where there isn't even war zones, and they just kill people and commit all types of war crimes and do all this crazy shit. And it's like nobody even knows what's going on with them, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, he found, and how it started is he went up into Afghanistan into these extremely sketchy areas, he being Jeremy Scahill, and interviewed, and this is how it started, how he started finding out about all this shit. He interviewed one family up in the mountains in Afghanistan, and this JSOC unit had fucking busted through their ceiling and killed like six of their family members, like the grandmother and the 8-year-old daughter. And, you know, just a bunch of so what they did in a lot of these cases is they fucking did these nighttime raids. They'd go in, bust into a house, kill just about everybody in it, and take off without
right.
anything. I mean, without recourse, without a conversation. They go in, wipe out whoever was in there, and take off again or you know, kill their target and whoever else got in the way, basically, you know. And
they ended up killing that one guy.
They interviewed that family. And then that's
right.
where he started finding out, you know, he was like, I wonder if anybody's documented all of these operations that have killed these innocent bystanders. And he goes, well, I guess I'll do that then, you know. And he
right.
started, and that's where the rabbit hole starts fucking swirling him down, and he starts finding, what was it, like 100 concurrent missions alone in Afghanistan?
Right.
I mean,
well,
going on at
had,
the same time.
They would have a kill list of like 150 people, and then after like a year or two, they would kill all those people, and then there would be a new kill list of another 120 people. Come on. And then they had that one guy that actually was not a radical. He was actually an American, the one guy they killed. He was an American. He was actually anti-terrorist, he was Muslim, and he was like a cleric or whatever, taught Islam or whatever, but he was quoted in like New York Times and stuff, and he lived in America for a while, and he ended up moving
over.
Yeah,
Anwar al-Awlaki.
Syria?
Al-Awlaki
moved to Yemen, and he became more radical, and then he became anti-American, but he started out pro-American and anti-terrorist, and they ended up killing that guy, and they killed him even though he didn't really have any specific ties to terrorism. I mean, you know, he was just basically a teacher in their mosque or whatever. And they ended up going back 2 weeks later on another mission to kill his 16-year-old son who had nothing to fucking do with, wasn't even living with him, was living with his grandfather. And this kid had nothing to do with it. They went in and assassinated his kid because he may become a terrorist later on. That's unfucking believable, dude.
Well, and it's amazing. You know, we just had a conversation on this show, and it was with Lucy about those fucking drone strikes. And I brought those two guys up, and he all, you know, pushed them off were they born here? Do we have their papers to see if they're born here? Type bullshit. When you know that whole movie links that shit together. The whole JSOC operations along with those fucking drone strikes, and that was the whole point of the movie, I think, in my opinion, was when he ended with the drone strikes. And he not only talked about that Al-Laki, but his son, like you said, Jude Muhammad. And that Jude Muhammad was born in Denver, Colorado.
Right.
He was 16 years old.
So his grandfather kept him away from all that. They didn't want him not involved in any of the radical Islamic stuff. They kept purposely tried to keep him away from all that, and they still fucking killed him.
Well, and even Al-Laki, man, I mean, they showed him. He was interviewed by CBS News, and they had an extensive story on Al-Laki when he was living in America, and he was just this conservative, button-down, wearing glasses, driving a Ford dude that would go to the mosque, and he was Muslim, and then he started seeing all this shit going on. I forgot where it was at, in Gaza or somewhere, and he started getting a little more hardcore, and he moved over to Yemen.
Right.
And so that was the most insidious part of the movie, Dirty Wars. This is the movie we're talking about, Dirty Wars by Jeremy Scahill, was the fact that they not only killed him, but they killed his 16-year-old son just because he might become a terrorist in the future. He had no ties whatsoever to his dad's radical preaching, which had become radical at that point, or anything
else.
Yeah,
at the end it did.
It was fucking, what's that?
At the end he became radical because he's seen all what was going on.
Well, right, but not the 16-year-old. The Al-Laki did, but the Muhammad, his son, the Muhammad dude, 16 years old, really wasn't involved in any of his father's radical preachings or really any of his activities, and they went back and drone-bombed his ass. Born in Denver, Colorado, straight-out American kids, could speak perfect English, if you would have placed him in any neighborhood, conservative, suburban neighborhood in America, he would have fit right in.
Right.
Man, that movie was insane. It was incredible. And I love how it starts out, because when it starts out, it looks like it's going to be this simple little movie about, you know, he's done a bunch of books about Blackwater and shit like that, and I knew that already, and I knew that he was kind of going after, but I love how that movie just spins it, and it's just that one interview with that family that was killed by that JSOC unit opened up all of this shit that he found out eventually later on, that they were responsible for maybe thousands of deaths, that the JSOC units all over Afghanistan, you know, with no cause, man, just busting in the house, killing them, you know, and leaving.
Right.
Half of them didn't even know why. So, insane, that movie, I love that movie. That was a good movie. Thanks for turning me on.
It was definitely a good documentary. I think that documentary won some awards, too. It was like Documentary of the Year that year or whatever. I think it's the date of it's 2014, but I think they made it in 2013.
I think it was either nominated or won an Oscar for Best Documentary.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it. It's been on my queue for quite a while, and I finally watched it like a month or so ago, and I was just like blown away by it. I was like, man, oh man. And you know, same old thing. You watch it, you start getting pissed off, and then you wonder what you can do. You know, I go through a whole thing where I question myself, you know, am I doing enough? And what happens is kind of like where I was going earlier in the show. I get pissed off. I start arguing with, Israelis on, you know, or not Israelis, but people that are pro-Jewish and, you know, talking about, you know, they need to start upping the fucking war tactics in Palestine and start bombing Gaza more because they're digging tunnels and they're doing this and they're doing that. and Hamas is doing this, and Hamas is using them as human shields, so we need to start, you know, shooting women and children to get to Hamas, and, you know, all this bullshit. So I start arguing with them, and I really need to just, you know, it's kind of a different arm of the issue, but it's like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know,
they've
got nowhere to go,
right?
Dude. I mean, so everything's
right.
Going to be a human shield, you know? They got
right.
Nowhere to go, so wherever they're at, everything's going to be a human shield to them.
Well, yeah, it's like,
know?
They're, you know, they're shooting a fish in a barrel, and the barrel keeps
right.
Getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The fucking barrel's so small now, I mean, it's to the point now where they're just hitting, you know, they can hit anything. I mean, they got one of the most advanced militaries in the world, Israel, and they're shooting people that are fucking throwing Molotov cocktails, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
they're also hitting hospitals. They're shooting missiles in the hospitals, in the UN medical facilities, and shelters for orphan children. It's wicked, dude. I've
right.
seen all kinds of pictures of, you know, these kids just
fucking some of that stuff. Have you seen some of that videos?
Man.
That guy pulls his little burnt baby boy out of the fucking rubble. He's burnt. Then his feet are melted off, and the bones are sticking through his legs. The kid looks like a charred black little fucking baby doll with his teeth hanging out of his mouth, and he's just crying. He's hugging him, and he's kissing the kid, and the kid's deader than a fucking doornail.
Yeah.
And I watch this shit, and it makes you so mad. And the only thing I can think of, dude, and what it just spurs my anger, and I think about it, and I just, what I let it do is it inspires me to, I'm like, you know, I try to take a macro vision of it, not say we need to support Israel, we need to support Palestine. I say we need to fucking quit funding it all. Quit funding Israel. Don't give them another fucking bullet.
Man.
Don't give them nothing. Don't give Palestine nothing. Or God, don't give the Hamas nothing. Don't give the terrorist organizations. Don't be funding terrorist groups in Syria. Don't fucking give nothing to nobody. Fuck
you know
them all,
thought,
man.
You know what I thought was incredibly interesting?
You certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
I agree with
right.
you entirely. I mean, we give Israel more money than we do the African continent every year. It's
right.
ridiculous. It's to maintain their nuclear weapons that they have. And, you know,
right.
they never admitted it, but they've got a stockpile. And I think there's
been a
few high-level executives in the U.S. that have said so much on occasion.
Yeah.
And they're, whoops, not supposed to say that.
Yeah.
But
I think it's common knowledge Israel has nukes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the thing, man. They're the only nuclear power in the Mideast. The only.
Right. Well, them and
is
Pakistan.
Israel.
Well,
Pakistan is maybe
kind
of Far East. But, yeah, I guess you call them Mideast. But, yeah, I mean, you know, so, you know, they can certainly defend themselves. And I'm willing to bet a lot of that money is going just to maintaining the fucking nuclear weapon arsenal they have. But
right.
I saw this thing that I thought was really and I, you know, it'll never happen. But there's a picture of Israel, of the country of Israel, and it was plopped right down in the middle of, like, Kansas and Nebraska. And they said, we could solve
right.
everything right now by moving the entire country of Israel right to the middle of America, then we wouldn't have to fund them anymore, we wouldn't have to protect them anymore, and, you know, give that shit back and you know, make it common
right.
area. All, any and all religions can go to it if they want, the Wailing Wall and the fucking, you
right.
know, temple
move
on
everything.
The mountain and all that shit, you know.
Move
and,
it all.
Yeah, I go, man, that would answer it. That'd solve everything. They wouldn't have to worry about being attacked anymore. They wouldn't, you know,
right.
give them their own little state somewhere in a fucking cornfield, and then you
give
know, and then everything would be
give
solved.
Give them Rhode Island.
Yeah, whatever, you know
Rhode
what
Island.
I mean. Yeah, a little strip of the fucking corn belt, man, and then everything would be happy. They could have their own little, you know, their own, because all that shit was just carved out fucking willy-nilly after World War II with agreements with, you know, the U.S. and Britain and
right.
and Russia and shit when they started. A lot of those countries were just fucking, they drew a line through a map, and there's the boundary of the two countries, you know.
Well,
these
Jewish roots followers, that's what I was telling them. I said it's no different than if Russia came over and invaded America and said, we have a holy book that says this land was given to us by God, so we're
right.
going to take it over, we're going to round all you Americans up, we're going to put you in Oklahoma, you're all going to be in there, we're going to kill a lot of you on the way there, and we'll get you into Oklahoma, and when you try to venture out or try to get closer to the borders, we're going to bomb you, we're going to kill you, And some of you guys are going to fight us back because you're fighting for your homeland, so we're going to kill you too because you guys are terrorists, even though we're taking over your land, and this land is given to us by God, and we're God's people. And you don't think we would fight that? You don't think we would be opposed to that and fight that? Of course we fucking would. Yeah. So why would it be any different from anybody else there? They're like, well, they're Hamas is terrorists, and they're evil, and the people are, well, fuck, man. They don't want them there. You know, they want their land. You know, and they always say, well, Palestine was never a nation, and Palestine never had it. I understand that, but the people
but they've been
lived
there forever.
In that land.
They've been there forever, long before the Jews. I mean, Palestinians were there long before
the Jews.
They
didn't have a state. It wasn't an official state, but they fucking owned the land. They lived there. You know, it wasn't
an official
country.
And they fucked
up.
If they would have just thought to carve a tiny little piece of land out for those fucking people. But they didn't think about that, and so now, you know, the Palestinians, they have nowhere to go, and they live in Gaza and get bombed whenever the fucking Israel feels like it, and, you know, they captured that Israeli soldier. That was
you know what it is?
They went in and just...
It's a passive...
What?
It's, what it is, it's a passive-aggressive genocide. It's a fucking genocide that it's just chipping away at a stone. That's all it is. It's like, Oh, we let them know when we're bombing. Oh, we, you know, when we go in and raid, we don't kill everybody. We try not to kill the children, or we don't bomb the hospitals. We only bomb them when we know for sure that they're shooting missiles out of them, you know, or whatever. You know, it's all bullshit, dude. They, you know, it's a passive aggressive genocide is what it is. Yeah, they're not just flat out fucking going in there and mowing them down. I almost have more respect if they just fucking do that. Yes, but you know what? They won't do that because they know the whole world's going to turn on them. So they won't do it, you know. And then, of course, anybody that's against what they're doing is a Nazi. You know, not anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semite.
I've been called outright Nazi. You're a fucking Nazi. I'm like, nothing enrages me more than being called a Nazi. I'm like, you're a fucking asshole, man. You are nuts because I am not a Nazi. For one thing, I hate Islam. I am not aligned with Islam at all. I think it's a morally reprehensible religion, as bad if not worse than Christianity, and as bad if not worse than Judaism. So I am not fucking pro-Muslim. I am not pro-Palestinian as far as their beliefs in Hamas and all that. I fucking hate Hamas. And but you know, I'm kind of a Robin Hood character in a way, and by that I mean as a Robin Hood character, I'm kind of for the underdog. And they are a fucking Palestinian people are an underdog to Israel. I mean, it's definitely David versus Goliath.
It's apartheid.
That's
South
what I
Africa
said. I said
right
it.
Now.
That's what I said. It's basically like apartheid, and they said there was Jewish people that suffered in South Africa, black Jews, and for you to call it apartheid is an abomination, and you're a fucking piece of
shit.
I said the exact same dude. Thing I said, it's like apartheid. It kind of is. I mean, they can't go in there. They can't work. They can't. They fucking treat like third class
citizens. They control everything, every little bit of their lives, their entry and exit into the country, what they take, what they don't take. They arrest whoever they want.
I also read an article. I also read an article. The African refugees from the different Sudan and stuff that go into that go into the Israel to work and stuff. They treat them horribly. They treat the African Jews better, the Jewish blacks better, the ones that are Jewish, but the ones that are not Jewish, they treat them like fucking dirt too, dude. I mean, it's like they got
I read that article.
Going there.
You posted that one. I read that one. Yeah.
Right. They treat them like crap. They can't rent apartments. They can't work legally. They treat them like, they can't make no fucking money. They can't live anywhere. Where the fuck they got to live in,
Speaking of Nazis, I mean, it's really... Israelis handling the Palestinians like that at this point, where they got to have their papers. If you don't have your papers ready, telling who you are, you're caught. You're going to jail. You're gonna I mean it's like let's see your papers, and so it's fucked up. But I don't know, man. I think the only thing give the Palestinians the Gaza Strip. It's barely even any fucking land. It's a bunch of desert of their own.
Yeah.
Call it Palestine and call it good. What the fuck is Israel scared of? I mean, they have nuclear weapons, for fuck's sake. You know?
I know.
That's not going to stop a few fucking missiles from coming over just by not claiming Palestine as its own nation.
And then they got iron shield. which 90% of the fucking missiles don't even hit them anyways because they got the Iron Shield and they're fucking they blow up most of the fucking missiles in the air. Have you ever watched any of the videos of that? Shit, I've seen like 15, 20 fucking missiles fly through the air and they blow them all up.
Yep.
It's really, effective.
And then you got to wonder, dude, I mean, everybody knows that they have fucking nuclear weapons, right? How did those get there? In the middle of the night, on a cargo ship or a U.S. warship, they slipped them in the fucking, in the middle of the night so that Israel could store them somewhere and have the fucking ultimate Armageddon if they wanted to. I mean, you know, they'd fucking destroy whoever the hell they wanted to in the Mideast.
But yet these Jewish fucking roots people have the audacity to say that America doesn't support Israel and that we cause a lot of anti-Semitism and that we are indifferent at least. We are indifferent at least, and at worst we perpetrate anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And
state
I said, you motherfuckers.
Israel is not Judaism. That's the thing.
Right.
The state of Israel is not Judaism. So when you criticize the state of Israel, you are not criticizing a religion. You're criticizing the behaviors and activities
anti-Zionist.
Of that country.
We're anti-Zionist.
Right.
We're anti-Zionist.
And those fuckers, those extreme Zionists, they're as bad as the neocons, as Bush. I mean, Netanyahu and all those fuckers, they're as bad as Bush is. Or was, in Cheney and shit.
Right.
And really, I mean, you as bad as Obama is. I mean, he's fucking drone bombing people. On the one hand, this is the hypocrisy of Obama, another massive hypocrisy. He defends the Jewish state, the state of Israel, by saying, that any state that's being hit with rockets has a right to defend themselves. And then the next day, he's shooting drones at Pakistan or Yemen or wherever the fuck.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Shit.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, we have no fucking credibility at all in the world anymore. No one fucking,
I know.
They look at us and laugh. I mean, even Obama, who, you know, when he was running for president, he went over to Europe, he spoke to those fucking massive crowds, dude. Like Germany, he had like almost a half million people he was speaking to in Germany, and now no one even wants to talk, no one even wants to look at him now. You know, he had these massive crowds. Everybody was so happy to get that fucker Bush out of office and to see some change coming out of this country in a positive manner, and he blew it, man.
Same bullshit. It's all happening. It's just as bad, if not even worse. What I was saying about these Jewish roots people, they're saying all this shit about us and everything, but they've been kicked out of 79 countries through history. 79 countries have kicked the Jews out of their country, and they thrive in America. We've never kicked them out. Shit, they own a lot of the financial institutes. They fucking own media companies and movie and film. You know, they own fucking Hollywood, and they thrive in America. I don't understand this persecution. There's no fucking Jewish persecution in America. They're not even considered a minority or like blacks or Indians or Hispanic or whatever in America. They're fucking treated like white people, and they have every privilege that any fucking white person would have.
Right. Well, you know what? I think they use they use the Holocaust a lot as an excuse, but I mean the African American certainly has gone. Their people have gone through way more horror. I don't know. I mean, it's all terrible.
Right.
You know, it's hard to. But as much horror as the Jewish people have. And it goes back to religion more than anything. They're just like the Christians when they say that they're being persecuted now, and especially you're right, in America they're not. I mean they're free to have their religion, whatever religion they want. The Christians the same way, but they're all being persecuted suddenly. You know, the Christians, the Jews, and if you say something something against the religion, man. You know. But in the end, it is, man. It's all the same shit. It's all delusional. And even if you are, against the state of Israel and against Judaism, that doesn't mean you're against the people there. It's not like you fucking hate people that live in Israel, right?
No.
You know, it's just the behavior of the country, just like ours, man. I mean, going back to all these fucking secretive units killing all these people in Afghanistan and who knows where else, all over the world, in Africa and wherever else. You know, it's the same
right.
thing. It's just that right now in Gaza, there's a whole lot of video footage of it. You know,
right.
I mean, we're doing the same thing as Israel, really. It's just that it doesn't get the press. It's not getting the press because it's not so immediate and right there. And you know, there's not too many Afghanistans living up in the mountains that've got cell phones to record that shit. You know,
right? I mean, you look at some of those photos where kids have half their heads blown off. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just sickening, man. I've seen some of the
yeah.
most horrific
yeah.
fucking.
And that
and
shit
I
should be shown
not,
in our
nothing.
Media, dude. That shit should be
nothing,
shown
nothing.
In our media and is not, because if it was, it would stop the, within, you know, the,
right.
the next day or week. People would not tolerate it if they actually
shit,
had to see, you know, like on the 6 o'clock news, what fucking horror
yeah.
is being caused.
Little children,
by
3, 4 years old, with half their head, their fucking head
yeah.
diagonally blown off with no fucking brains in there. Guy holding him in her arms, just the father or mother just bawling.
Yeah.
I've seen video, pictures. And you know what? I look at it. It's sickening. And I sit there and I look at it, and I take it in, man, and I get angry,
yep.
and I get pissed off, and I hate it, dude. I despise it, and I fucking, I hate our government, and I hate our foreign policies, and I hate, you know, Israel's policy. And
yeah.
and I also hate
well,
I also
violent,
hate
terrorists.
Well, I'm not pro terrorist, and I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not a fucking you know, pro Islamist, and I can't stand Islam as a religion. But I kind of understand. I know when in my Robin Hood mentality that I have, when you're facing a Goliath like they are, shit, everything's off the table, man. You know,
right?
Fuck,
right.
Strap a bomb to yourself and walk into a market. You know, I mean,
well,
what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's nuts, and it's crazy, and I wouldn't want to do it, and I you know, but I don't, I understand why people do it.
Man. I mean, there's so many
right.
people in America, oh, they hate us for our freedom, and they hate it. That's bullshit. It's a minority of people that are being squeezed by a fucking oppressive force, and those, that's the response to it. You know, there,
right.
there's it's a violent response to it, and you know,
and,
I mean, you live in Gaza. And I mean, there's been what 1,500 people killed in the last few weeks
right.
by Israel in Gaza.
Right.
And, you know,
and
I mean, I'm sure everybody's had someone in their family killed in that area, if not more than
right.
one. And
right.
you know, what's going to be the response to it? I mean, you got to do something,
right?
If that's happening to
right.
you and your family, you know.
And,
I don't know. I mean, I'm not condoning it, but
is,
you know, it's fucking tit for tat.
The thing that's sickening, right? And the thing that's sickening is we're not all together as a government and military. We're not all against radical Islam and terrorists. You know, we're fighting against them over here, but on the other hand, over here, we're supplying them. We're
right.
fucking
Syria.
Helping Al Qaeda. In this country over here, we're supplying them
yep.
fucking arms, and we're giving
right.
them weapons. Because they're serving
perfect
our purpose
point.
Over here, but over here we're fucking fighting them. So it's all
right.
bullshit. It's
we
all
hate
fucking
Hamas,
bullshit, man.
But we hate Hamas.
Yeah.
But we travel 200 miles, 300 miles to the north of Syria, and then we're funding Al Qaeda in Syria
right.
to fight a civil
right.
war that's killed tens of thousands of people.
Right.
And it's just who's convenient at the time, dude. I got that book I'm reading about is. It is amazing with that Oliver Stone, the untold story of untold history of the United States by Oliver Stone, and he talks about that all the time. How, you know, we like Central America, we did this all in the '50s in Guatemala, and we had democratically elected presidents, and we ousted them so that the Chiquita Bananas, the United Fruit Company, could come in and buy land. And privatize
uh-huh.
the land, and at one point they owned like 90% of the growable land in the plowable land in Guatemala. The United Fruit Company did
right,
just all for profits, man. And that's really what it comes down to. You got to know that in Syria, it has to do with money somehow. I haven't made the link, but I'm sure that there's some sort of bankers involved somehow. I mean, what other fucking reason would we go in and destabilize a country that was fairly stable for quite a long time, you know? I mean, the
right.
guy may not be an ideal leader, but certainly he was no, you know, Saddam Hussein or, you know, whatever
right.
else, man. I mean, you know.
We don't
you know.
give a And we don't give a fuck about nobody's democratic freedoms anyways, because they'll be fucking warlords. Warlords in Africa just slaughtering fucking people by the hundreds of thousands. We don't give a fuck about them. But then we're going to worry about somebody else that killed a thousand people that we're going to try to give them freedom over here in the Middle East. That's all a bunch of bullshit. You know, that's total fucking bullshit. You know, we've let more people die, you know, that we could have saved because they didn't have oil or they didn't have, you know, we didn't give a shit or it wasn't, you know, profitable for our corporations to fucking go in there and fight a war against somebody that's really killing a ton of people. So, you know, we pick and choose who we want to give democracy to. That's all a bunch of bullshit. People fucking stupid. Right.
That fucking book, Shock Doctrine, is all about us, you know, in these corporations having fucking hit squads. Shock Doctrine, written by Naomi Klein. All these corporations, Ford and, like I mentioned, the United Fruit Company, all having these fucking assassination squads, and they would go in and manipulate the politics in the country, overturn fucking, democratically elected presidents or whatever else. You know, like look at in Chile in 1973, that Salvador Allende, man, he was overturned. He was a physician and a politician. I'm reading some shit from Wikipedia about his background, but he was the first Marxist to become president of Latin America in Chile. And fucking, CIA went in and overturned his whole fucking presidency, killed him, tens of thousands of people, all for political expediency, man. You know, who should be the right person in president? Fucked up.
Well, folks, read the Communist Manifesto. Get fucking ready, man. Revolution is coming.
Power to the people, man. Power to the people.
Yeah, power to the people. Fuck the corporations. Fuck the imperial swine.
Next week, I want to talk about that artificial intelligence again. That shit's fucking rearing its ugly head again. So I had a bit about that in just a couple minutes. Let's talk about that next week.
All right.
Put
it on the back burner. We'll get to it.
Right on.
But we're getting ready to call this one a finished product here. And I guess next week we're going to try to go on Wednesday, 8 p.m. Switch to Wednesday, right?
All right. We'll shoot for Wednesday, 8 p.m.
Wednesday, 8 p.m. We're gonna try to stay on Wednesday, man.
Yep.
Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mr. Fish, we're out.
Mr. Fish, adios.
Yeah, baby.